The White House recently announced another step in its effort to end sexual assault on college campuses, a public service campaign called It's On Us. And when it comes to studying sexual violence, college surveys are important. But those surveys often don't include students at historically black colleges and universities, or HBCUs. One major study found sexual assaults are lower on those campuses than others, but some question those numbers and whether HBCUs have the resolve to openly address the issue of campus rape. NPR's Cheryl Corley traveled to two schools and has this report in our ongoing series, but we should warn you, her report includes a young woman's description of an alleged sexual assault.
There are more than 100 historically black colleges and universities, or HBCUs, in the country. Morgan State University in Baltimore ranks in the top 15. During the school's fall matriculation convocation, professors dressed in their full cap and gown regalia strolled into the Fine Arts Building auditorium where hundreds of students were already waiting.
I'm very excited to speak to you this morning to mark the official beginning of the 2014-2015 academic year.
Morgan State President David Wilson proudly described the ongoing building boom at the sprawling campus and successful efforts to retain more students. But amidst the pomp and circumstance is the fact that Morgan State is the only HBCU on the list of more than 70 universities and colleges the Department of Education is investigating for how they handle cases of sexual assault. Over at the Student Center, 20-year-old Christopher Brown, a junior, found it difficult to believe his school was on the list.
I think that it's preposterous because sexual assault cases, I was unaware that that was present on this campus.
But 20-year-old Dominique Butler, who is majoring in theater arts, says a friend did confide in her that she'd been raped by a fellow student but didn't report it.
She was afraid of what her family would say. She was afraid no one would believe her.
The latest statistics from the Department of Education show one rape occurred at Morgan State in 2012. The school is under investigation after a student filed a complaint in March alleging she had been sexually assaulted by another student in off-campus housing. Morgan's President Wilson says the school can't divulge any information about the case, but says preventing sexual violence is a top priority.
When we have our orientation here, you know, we basically talk with students about sexual violence and let them know that they really need to have the other person to give their consent.
Wilson says administrators have and will continue to undergo Title IX training to understand the school's responsibility when it comes to preventing and responding to sexual violence. Amelia Cobb, the founder of the Right Group, which consults on issues of social change, was the force behind an initiative launched on HBCU campuses in 2008 to help schools focus on gender-based violence. Cobb says many financially strapped HBCUs focus on economic priorities, but have not taken the lead on creating transparent policies for dealing with sexual assaults.
They want the help, but when it comes to actually putting and addressing violence against women in general and implementing that into their existing system, whether that's an academic setting, an orientation, a training for an RA on a consistent basis, it just doesn't happen.
About 40 miles away from Morgan in Washington, D.C., there's another acclaimed HBCU, Howard University. Over the past 4 years, it's received about $600,000 in Justice Department grant money to devise programs to combat sexual violence. Last month, it held a mandatory Title IX orientation session for freshmen. Professor Tricia Bent-Goodley told the students there must be a straightforward affirmation when it comes to agreeing to have sex.
Really, our goal is primarily to make sure students have a sense of what does domestic violence, dating violence, sexual assault, and stalking look like.
Bent-Goodley says students also need to know who they can turn to for help. 20-year-old Kristen McCovery, a senior now, says she was assaulted by a fellow student when she was a freshman and didn't know what to do.
It was January. A group of my friends, I think there was a house party and other people wanted to go to the club.
McCovery, who wanted to be identified, says she and her roommate waited for a couple of friends in an all-male dorm. She said they had all been drinking. When the young men arrived, her roommate left with her boyfriend. McCovery stayed with the remaining friend and they ended up having consensual sex. But when she wanted to leave, McCovery says it turned ugly.
And at first we had consensual sex and after that I was like, I'm really ready to go. And that wasn't the case for him. So when I was trying to leave and get dressed, he pushed me back on the bed and I ended up hitting my head on his window ledge. And after that, I remember him turning around while still holding me to, like, turn the music up. And I was trying to bang on the walls and scream, but nobody could hear me because the music was so loud.
McCovery filed charges with D.C. Metro Police, but says she didn't get a call until months later, and police told her missing information meant they would not pursue the case. She says she also reached out to her resident advisor, another student, but nothing came of that either. Her alleged assailant still attends the school.
And for me, it's stressful seeing him, you know, going to class or if I have a class with him.
In a statement released after NPR brought the case to the school's attention, Howard President Wayne A.I. Frederick says he's committed to fostering a campus environment where assault is prevented and victims are fully supported, and the school's Title IX coordinator is now investigating. The largest survey about sexual assaults on HBCU campuses was conducted in 2008 by the nonprofit research group RTI International. Lead researcher Christopher Krebs says 4,000 undergraduate women at four HBCUs participated. He says the rates of sexual assault where women were incapacitated in some way, for example, drunk and unable to provide consent, was considerably lower than on other college campuses, 6.2% versus 11% at non-HBCUs.
Alcohol use at HBCUs was considerably lower than alcohol use at non-HBCUs.
Krebs says black women attending predominantly white institutions also had lower rates of drinking alcohol and lower rates of incapacitated sexual assault.
So it's not so much maybe a campus phenomenon as it is a race phenomenon where black undergraduate women are simply drinking at considerably lower rates.
Emory University professor Angela Amar, who's also studied sexual assault issues, points to the high female-to-male ratio on HBCU campuses and says a cultural variable may also be impacting the lower numbers of reported rapes.
It's like you don't want to turn in your brother who's doing well on campus, that, you know, there's so few of them. And so maybe it's really not so bad.
In an effort to raise awareness, Morgan State is developing brochures about Title IX and how to prevent rapes. Next spring, Howard University will hold a bystander prevention program to continue what faculty call needed tough conversations for HBCUs. Cheryl Corley, NPR News.